So folks, we're starting a brand new series this morning. And this series is going to take us through the rest of the month of March and through the entire month of April, through to Easter and into the weekend after Easter. And it's a series that I've been talking about for a while because I've needed your help a little bit in kind of getting this rolling. It is this, the long-awaited, you asked for it, your questions and biblical answers. Last week, we held a Starting Point lunch following the morning service. Starting Point lunch is a way that we can help people who are brand new or newer to Evangel connect with some of the leadership over lunch and have conversations. And so if you're newer and you haven't been invited to Starting Point lunch, don't worry, that invitation is coming at the next one, no doubt. But one of the questions, one of the more fun-loving questions that we had at that lunch was this: if you could have any superpower, what would it be? And so I went first and I said, if I could have any superpower, I would want to know what is going on in the minds of people as I stand before them and preach every Sunday. And then one wise person popped up and said, I don't think you'd really want to know that, Pastor. That would get old quickly. Folks, I think the worst thing that the pastors can do is preach in such a way that we're answering questions that nobody is asking at all. I think that's maybe one of the worst things that we can do, which is kind of why I like to know sometimes what's going on in the minds of people when I'm preaching. But this series, you asked for it, it's going to avoid that pitfall completely. Because I can assure you that as we work our way through this series, the things that we are addressing and discussing from a biblical perspective are things that at least one person at Evangel Assembly has asked and raised. And of course, these were anonymous, so I have no idea who you were, unless a few of you I recognize your penmanship, but that's okay. Now, a professor in seminary told me once that if one person is brave enough to ask the question, chances are there's others that are wondering the exact same thing. So I'm pretty sure that this series is going to touch home for several of you. Some people refer to this series as, when are you doing that one where you talk about the really difficult things? And some of the questions have been difficult that you've had. And so I'm just going to make a deal with you. Remember, as we work through this series, you asked for it. Right? Now, I'll give you the lineup so you can know what's coming up. This week, we're going to start off gently. This week, I received a number of inquiries about, very simply, how do I pray? How should I pray? How can I pray? And that reflects a wide variety of experiences. Maybe people feeling stale or stuck in their prayer life. Just how can I pray better? Or how do I pray if I don't pray at all, period? So we're going to talk about that today. Next week, week two, I've called it, Was That Word From the Lord? Several people have said they wonder, how do they know when the Lord is speaking to them? How do they know if it's the Lord? Or, you know, someone comes to them and has a word for them from the Lord. How do they know that they should trust that word from the Lord? Because we know in Scripture, in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, there were folks pretending to have words from the Lord that really weren't from the Lord. So how do we even know today? How can we discern well? And so we'll talk about that next week. Week three. Grace is not cheap. The tension between God's free gift of salvation, just believe and receive, and the life of discipleship that compels us not to behave the same any longer. And holding those together in tension, how do we do that? Grace is not cheap. Then week four. And I figured this would come, and it came. Week four, love in the 21st century. If you thought that growing up and dating and getting married and topics of sexuality were difficult when you were young, we've only further complicated things in the 21st century. And so on this particular week, I've shared on this topic before, we're going to dive in again to the topic of love in the 21st century. And due to the complexities of our world, this one likely won't be podcasted, so you'll have to catch the live version here on Sunday morning, simply because this topic is ripe for misunderstanding and misquoting, and so you'll just have to catch the live version here. Week five, Christians and politics. That came up. Yeah, and I guess I should clarify it, Canadian Christians in politics, because south of the border, this conversation would be completely different, I am sure. But Christian Canadians in politics, it's a federal election year. How do Christians faithfully interact with politics? How does the Word of God instruct us and guide us? Week six, believe it or not, 6 weeks, Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday morning. And of course, Easter Sunday, how could we do anything but talk about the resurrection of Christ and the hope for new life that that gives every single one of us? And you have asked me to share the message of salvation more often, and so we are asking, you were asked for it, we are giving it on Easter Sunday morning. And then finally, week seven after Easter will be the week that we celebrate memberships and baptisms and the finale of our current Foundations course. And I'm going to share that morning on membership matters in the local church and what Scripture talks about in terms of covenant relationships and how we can understand this better. So that is how we are going to walk our way through the You Asked For It series. Now, there's other minor questions and minor things that the folks have submitted that maybe we didn't need to take an entire morning to talk about. And so we'll find those, as many as I can, interspersed throughout as we talk through these major topics over the next 6 or 7 weeks together. Does that sound good? Sounds fun, doesn't it? Yeah, yes, Rachel. Thank you, Rachel. It sounds fun. We're going to talk about that. So this morning, let's talk about prayer this morning. Let's talk about how do I pray? Now, I want to share with you two of my most frustrating prayer stories from my decade of youth ministry in Essex, Ontario. And Pastor Aaron has been there for some of these frustrating moments, so he's going to just chuckle along with you, maybe, I suppose. But here's the first most frustrating prayer moment that I've had in a decade of youth ministry in Essex, Ontario. Imagine this, that we are in a moment, maybe a moment like we just had, where after we're worshiping, there's a sense of God's Spirit, there's a word, people are praying, and people's hearts are being moved, and so you walk up to someone, and you just want to minister to them, and you say to them, so-and-so, a youth, it's a youth convention, this is my particular scenario, and you say to them, how can I pray for you? And you think you're going to be like, you're really going to invest something fantastic into their life, and this is going to be a fantastic moment. And they look up at you with blank eyes after you've said, how can I pray for you? And they say, oh. That's youth lingo. Adults would say to me, I'm not really sure, Pastor. That was a little frustrating in youth ministry. And I've always said there's two things that are going on there when that happens. Either you don't trust the person enough to really tell them what's going on, or there's just really nothing going on. And that's unfortunate as well. But that's frustrating. But I think there's one that has frustrated me even more. In the youth ministry, I used to call this the cat prayer. Now, we're going to bring this around. This is going to make sense in a moment. But the cat prayer goes something like this, right, Pastor Aaron? It's youth convention. Children are at the altar. It's a fantastic time. There's people, and you can see just visibly they're becoming emotional. You think the Spirit of God is moving. This is fantastic. And you go up and you lay a hand on them and you say, how can I pray for you in this, in your mind, this fantastic moment? And they cry and they say to you between their tears, my cat had a kitten and one died. Folks, this is why I became a lead pastor. Because I could not handle the cat prayers any longer. I'm allergic to cats, I don't like cats, and I'm really sorry about all of that and your cats. But cats and I just don't mix. I had a roommate in university, and before we went away for summer vacation, he said to me, so, you know, what is, you know, things you like, things you don't like, blah, blah, blah. I said, do whatever you want to the place. I'm allergic to cats. We come back in September. Do you know what he did in the summer? He got a cat. The cat and I had an understanding. Don't you cross the threshold to my bedroom. And the cat will walk by every once in a while and look in, and I'd look at the cat, and it would carry on. The cat knew, do not cross the threshold into my bedroom. And so if you'd like prayer for your cats or for your animals, Pastor Aaron's schedule is wide open. It is only his second week of work. He's not bogged down with appointments yet. You can get in real easy, I am sure of that. And so now Pastor Aaron's probably not going to appreciate that very much, that I've just let him off on all of those. But honestly, it's been fantastic having Pastor Aaron and Rachel here this past week. Pastor Aaron has fit into the office routine and has picked up a lot of stuff and is just fitting so seamlessly and so well. It was great to have him leading worship this morning. And for the first Sunday morning in quite some time, I got here around 8:15, and I spent from 8:15 till about 8:50 just praying and reviewing my message and not really having another care in the world as opposed to some of the other weeks, because Pastor Aaron had cared for so many things this week. And so it's fantastic to have Pastor Aaron and Rachel and Kinsley and soon to be another little baby sometime soon. Right, Rachel? Soon. She's hoping it's sooner than later. But folks, let me bring these frustrating prayer stories around to the point this morning. When it comes to prayer, sometimes you and I find ourselves in these two stories. First of all, we just, I don't know what to pray for. And we're honest, we just don't know what we should pray for. In the immensity of the needs in the world around us, we just say, well, how could my prayers even make a dent? It's kind of like looking into your son or daughter's bedroom and you think, how could I even make a dent? And you just close the door. You just wonder, in the immensity of the turmoil, maybe in my own heart or in my own life or in the life of my family, I just don't even know what to say. I don't even know where to start, Lord. And maybe we find ourselves on the other side of this. Maybe we sometimes major on the minors because we just pray about things like cats, because we've not really jumped into scripture and trying to understand a framework of how we can pray. And so our prayers have become unfocused and our prayers are just, they don't feel like they're ministering to our hearts. We don't feel fulfilled. We don't feel connected with the Lord. And so this morning in Matthew chapter 6, we're going to unpack some of what Jesus has said to his disciples to help us, give us a framework for how we can pray when we are during the week wanting to do that. So Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 13 says this. This might be familiar for some of you. Matthew chapter 6, 9 to 13. This then is how you should pray. Jesus' words. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Let's pray together this morning. God, I thank you for your word. And I thank you that throughout your scriptures, you, your disciples, others have asked you questions, and we can benefit from the answers that we have received and have been recorded in the Word of God for us. And so as we look into this template, this how do you pray question, as we look into what your Word says here, I pray that it would help us to pray more focused, help us to pray more often, and help us to know where to even begin so that we can connect with you in prayer. In the name of Christ, we pray together. Amen. The first thing that Jesus says to his disciples when they ask how to pray is this. He says, start off with, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. The first thing we do in prayer is we praise. The first thing we do in prayer is we praise God. We thank him for who he is. Our Father in heaven, hallowed or great or honored is your name. And so we, and sometimes when we're praying, that might be as far as we get in just a moment, because we're just so overwhelmed with the greatness, the vastness, the grandness of God. There is so much to be thankful for when we look out the window, when we see the sunshine. I love sunny Sunday mornings like this. And I love that our sanctuary has windows that I can see it when I'm preaching. It just lifts up the spirit and lifts up the soul. But when we pray, that is how we can begin. with praise. Now, sometimes, if we haven't worked out where we stand before God, if we haven't confessed faith in God before, then sometimes we struggle right off the bat with prayer because I just don't know what I can say about God. I haven't made God my Lord and Savior yet. And so prayer is that communion, that communication between us and the Lord. And it's made possible when we have faith in Him. And so we start with that praise piece. We start with praising God. And we can remind ourselves of the promises of Scripture as a way to praise God. You might say, well, how can I find things to thank God about? Well, we can try looking in our own lives, but sometimes we are in deep valleys and pits, and it's hard to see the thankfulness and the praiseworthy things in our own lives. So we can look to the lives of people around us. We can thank God for the report we heard from Lenny Jackard this morning, and we can thank God for the other things that are happening in other people's lives, and we can thank God for those things. But sometimes we just get so much down deep in the pit where sometimes the prayers reports of others just make us feel worse, and that's unfortunate. But we can go to the Word of God, and we can find the promises that the Lord gives us in His Word, and we can thank Him for those things, because even if we don't see them and feel them right now, we know that the Word of God is faithful and true, and the promises of God are yes and amen, so be it. And so we can encourage ourselves and praise God and be thankful to God simply for the promises that He has given us in His Word. Now, as homework, you'll have to look those up. It does require a little bit of work, but you can go on to Google and Google the promises found in Scripture, and that'll be a great help to help praise, to help lift up, open our prayers with thanksgiving to God. Now, the second thing that Jesus said was this. He said, pray this way, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The second thing we can pray about is purpose. Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We can pray about purpose. Do you ever ask God kind of what He's doing, what He's up to, whose hearts that He is stirring right now, what things He is challenging people about right now, or what He wants from you, or what He expects from you? Have you ever asked the Lord those things before? In Foundations, we've been talking a little bit about how some people come to faith in the Lord and others don't. And we've been talking about a stirring and a moving, because John 6:44 tells us that no one comes to the Lord except that the Son, the Spirit, draws him. And so there's a stirring and a churning in some seasons in people's lives. And in those seasons, we can help them make sense of that. How will they know if they've not heard? Have you ever asked the Lord, who do I need to share your hope with this week, today? Have we ever asked Him, what is your will to be done here on earth as it is in heaven? When I first went to university, I wasn't walking with the Lord very strongly, and so I loved the academics and the week time, but the weekend was kind of lonely and confusing because there was no academics to fill my life with. And then when I started attending Faith Tabernacle about year 3 and 4 in university, it kind of flipped. I loved the stuff that we would do on the weekends at church. I loved the volunteering that I was able to do, and I kind of tolerated the week. I really enjoyed what I was studying, but a change happened in passions and priorities. And my thesis supervisor even noticed a marked change in my work priorities. I didn't even have to tell her. And so have you asked the Lord, what is God calling you to do? Is there a ministry in or out of the church? Find out the things that you have to do, the things that God has put in your heart so strong and so passionately that you have to do them, that you just can't sit back and watch someone else do them. With people like Grace Fenton, I think of music. The Lord has just put music on your heart so strongly, and you've said that to me before. It's just, you just have to let it out. You just have to have an outlet. What are the things that that the Lord has put on your heart so strongly. We can pray about that. We can pray to the Lord about purpose. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The prophet Isaiah talks about this a little bit in chapter 1, verse 17. If you open there to the prophet Isaiah, you can flip back there if you like. I'll read it for you. Isaiah chapter 1. I'm still flipping. I should put bookmarks in sometimes. But Isaiah 1, 17 says this. It says, "Learn to do right. Seek justice. Encourage the oppressed. Defend the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow." Now, folks, that would probably be a full-time job if we were to do all of that for everyone in our sphere of influence. So simply ask the Lord, "Lord, what can I do? How can I be your hands and feet? How can I be your piece of heaven here on earth in my little sphere of influence? What is the purpose that I can live out right now?" Jesus had that same passage shared in the synagogue. You can read it in Luke chapter 4. When he was there, he proclaimed the ministry of the Messiah as one that would do exactly what the prophet Isaiah said right there. And so when you are praying, the second thing is you can pray about purpose. What is true in heaven that's not yet true here? Pray into that. And what can I do about that? Because we can't change the whole world. You and I, no matter what we do, no matter whose cause that we plead and whose case we defend, you and I, we can't change the whole world, but we can change one person's world. And maybe that's what the Lord is calling us to do, but sometimes in the enormity and the vastness of a problem, of a situation, we get overwhelmed, but we can't change the whole world, but we can change one person's world. And so, Lord, your will be done. What is it that I can do and partner with and do alongside of you that is cooperating with what you are doing, that's following within what Jesus says? I'll only do what the Father says. Now, there's a third thing here in the Lord's Prayer, and we read this together. It says this, "Give us this day our daily bread." Now, we're familiar with these kind of prayers, because this is usually where prayer lands, actually. When the church gathers together, that's usually where prayers land. We need something. And so we're praying and petitioning to the Lord for a particular need, whether it's financial or health. Often in our context, it's health. Sometimes I feel that I focus exclusively on that one area of prayer when I'm praying for my kids at bedtime. I say to them at bedtime sometimes, "Is there something I can pray for you about?" And then as I was preparing this message, I thought to myself, instead of just praying for something, you know, we could pray at bedtime a prayer of thanks to God for everything he has blessed us with this day and not really ask him for anything. That is, sometimes we fall into that one category of need and 90% of our prayers are in that one piece. And then sometimes we feel like we're just constantly bugging the Lord, constantly coming to him. Sometimes we get frustrated because we expect him to be like that cosmic genie sitting in heaven, and we go and we've asked the genie for the wish and the wish hasn't come. And so we give up on prayer, or we get frustrated with prayer, or we say that prayer doesn't work. Has anyone ever said that to you before? Or we say that prayer doesn't work. But folks, it's okay to bring our needs to God. But that's not the entirety of what our prayer life should look like. Our prayer life should be more vast, more deep, more wide than simply this one thing, though we do bring needs to the Lord. We brought so many needs to the Lord here this morning. And then we've celebrated, as I said, the answers to prayer. In our Wednesday night prayer group, we've celebrated the fact that Delbert's blood pressure is dropping. And that's an answer to prayer, because medication and doctors were not able to see that happen. And then he came to Wednesday prayer. And over time, we pray week after week. And Gary Surrett's been driving his car again. He doesn't have his Pirates patch on any longer. Eh, Gary? It's an answer to prayer when the doctors talked about, you know, diabetes and the vasculature and question marks. We don't know. But the Lord has answered some of those prayers as we've persisted in them. So the Lord does heal. The Lord does set people free, and we pray and we lean into those things. And so we bring our needs. Now, this probably isn't new, as I said, because this is kind of where we do focus on prayers. So pray this way, but make sure we pray other ways as well. There's another one here that Jesus says. He carries on in the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. Then he says this, forgive us our debts, or forgive us our sins, as we have forgiven those who sin against us, or as we have forgiven our debtors, or as we have forgiven those who have trespassed against us. The fourth thing we can pray about is forgiveness. And this is a fairly important area where we may struggle from time to time, depending on the situation, depending on who is involved. I've often wondered, and maybe you have as well, how it is that sometimes families can become so divided that parents and siblings and people just simply don't speak to one another for years on end. How can it get to that place? I mean, at one point, most families all lived under the same roof, and they all shared the same table at mealtime. How does it go from there to the kind of separation that we see? And sometimes it begins with small things or without small things. Sometimes it begins with forgiveness not being taken care of right away sometimes. And the reality of life is this. You and I, every single one of us, we've all messed up a time or two ourselves. I mean, I don't think there's anyone here that would raise their hand and say, not me, Pastor. I've never messed anything up in my life. Not me. But there's all of us here. We've messed up on things, and other people have messed up on things too. And sometimes other people's messes have hurt us. And that's honest. That's true. But we can forgive and make it a matter of prayer, asking the Lord, how can we forgive? In the chapter before Matthew 6, in Matthew 5, Jesus has some words about this. Matthew 5, 24 and 25. Actually, if you go up to 23, Matthew 5, 23 says, if you are offering a gift at the altar, remember your brother has something against you, leave your gift in front of the altar and go be reconciled and then come offer your gift. And 25, settle matters quickly with an adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still with him on the way, or he may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. Settle things quickly. And so we can pray about that. In fact, that's something that the Lord encourages us to pray about. Pray about forgiveness. When do we need forgiveness, and when should we go request it, and when do we need to offer it? There's a couple things we need to know about forgiveness. Forgiveness doesn't make the other person right. It just makes you free. Sometimes when my kids are having disputes and one of them just punches the other one and knocks them down and there's just a big mayhem and we have to go, you know, facilitate reconciliation and we encourage them to apologize. Sometimes one says to the other, I'm sorry for punching you. Or no, I guess I can't be sarcastic enough. You just imagine it dripping with sarcasm and forced apologies. I'm sorry for punching you. And then the other person, in a stroke of grace, says, that's okay. Then I've realized when we've talked about forgiveness, I need to stop and say, actually, it's not okay. Sometimes we say that, it's okay. Forgiveness isn't saying it's okay. Forgiveness is saying it was wrong, but I'm not going to hold it against you any longer. And so we've tried to reconcile our children in this way. It's not okay. Okay, when you've been hurt by another person. But when they say sorry, you can say, I won't hold it against you, or I forgive you. A person who can't forgive is someone that maybe has forgotten everything the Lord has forgiven them for. And when we think about that, it brings things into perspective. Forgiveness is almost like a canceled check. It's torn in two, it's ripped up, it's thrown in the shredder so that it can never be brought against someone again. And forgiveness isn't always a feeling, because to be honest, many times we will not feel like forgiving. Yet, we move forward with it anyhow because it is a decision. And if that doesn't help, well, the Word of God does have something that might help. Proverbs 25, 21 to 22. If your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat. If he is thirsty, give him water to drink. In doing this, now this is scripture, you will heap heavy burning coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you. So if nothing else compels you, follow the Lord's instructions, because as you walk according to the Lord, other people will walk according to what they have as well. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those. It's a both and situation. Forgive me, Lord, and show me the others I have to forgive and help me to do it. This can be a matter of prayer that we bring regularly, as regular as our needs, to the Lord, because the Lord taught us to pray in this way. The final thing he says in the Lord's Prayer this morning is this: lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now, some translations of scripture will just say deliver us from evil, but NIV and some other translations have it more correct: deliver us from the evil one, because we know there is an evil one. There is an adversary. There is an enemy that would like to prowl about and tempt and destroy and reap destruction. Ephesians 6:12 tells us this: we are in a spiritual battle, whether we realize it or not. And Ephesians 6:12 says that the battle is not against flesh and blood. Instead, the battle is against the principalities and the dark forces of this world. And so the battle's not against one another. The battle is against spiritual things. And so the best way to lose in a battle is to not even acknowledge that you are in a battle to begin with. The best way to lose a war is to not even know that you are fighting a war. There was a gentleman that I pastored in youth ministry. And he found that his iPod at that stage, this is many, many years ago, his iPod was a source of temptation for him, because with the iPod and with unrestricted access at his age, he had unrestricted access to all sorts of pornographic images, and he really felt convicted about this, that the Lord was just speaking to his heart about this, that you need to be free of this, and it was causing all sorts of destruction in his life. And so he had prayed about it, he had tried to get away from it, but you know what he did one day? He got to the bitter end where he realized that this iPod was something that was just causing him to stumble and fall, and so he took it out in his parents' driveway and he smashed it with a rock. I mean, he could have just given it to me. I would have put it to good use. But no, he said, you know, the temptation was so strong, and it was there, and he couldn't get out from under it. And he read the scriptures that said it'd be better for you if your eye offends you to pluck it out. Thank goodness he smashed the iPad, not his eye. But he said, you know, the something that he thought was so useful and so necessary, but it was a continually place where he was falling. He just took it and smashed it with a rock. Now, youth and young people, just give the device back to your parents, okay? If you're here this morning, just give it back to your parents. Don't smash it, because they're not cheap. And chances are, if you're a teenager and you have one, you didn't pay for it yourself. Chances are your parents paid for it. So just give it back to them. But in fact, folks, I can just imagine in a room this size and with the accessibility of technology, I'm certain that there's several people, if not many, that may have had a journey very similar to this young man in youth ministry, where they've battled with pornography. And I know it might be uncomfortable to hear your lead pastor talk about this, but this is the culture that we live in. This is a fact of the matter of today. And when we look at a wide variety of statistics. Some of them may be more biased than others, but it suggests that, you know, large percentages of people, even those who would attend churches on a regular basis, are those who struggle with viewing pornographic images on technological devices. So why is it such a great big deal in our culture and in our society today? Well, first of all, folks, the accessibility is just there. Way more. In the past, perhaps before my years, you had to chase pornography, but now it chases us. We find it everywhere. We find it on pop-ups. We find it on news feeds and all of these sorts of things. And sometimes people say it's just a fun recreation, but folks, why should we not be involved in that? Aside from the morality of publicizing private aspects of people's lives and the fact that it normalizes sexuality and even sexual violence, psychologists are even telling us that continued dependence on pornography rewires our brain in such a way that intimacy in marriage cannot be achieved to a level of satisfaction because our brains have been simply programmed differently. It's almost like it's an addictive substance, like substances would be, although it's images. But there's hope. Because when we pray about temptations like this, when we pray about things like this, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, there is no temptation overcome you except what is common to mankind. And with every temptation, there is a way of escape so that you will not have to suffer or be crushed underneath of it. And so no matter what we would sit here today and say are the things that are our weaknesses, the areas where we are tempted, no matter what it is, no matter what we would say, no matter if you said that's me, like this young man who had the iPod smash, that I struggle with pornography, no matter what it is where our weakness is, you would not be the first person to come and state that and share that with me or with a trusted friend, because there is no temptation except what is common to man. There is nothing that anyone is experiencing or walking through in the private recesses of their life that someone else is not also walking through as well. You're not the only one, absolutely guaranteed, for two reasons. Because Scripture says it, there's no temptation except what is common to man. And secondly, because I'm pretty sure I've heard it all. I'm pretty sure. Now, don't challenge me on that, but I'm pretty sure I've heard it all. Pastor Aaron, you've heard a bunch too in the years of ministry that we've worked together in Southern Ontario. Yep. And so, how do we escape from this? Well, first of all, we make it a matter of prayer, as Jesus says. And then secondly, We share with people. We talk with trusted people that can help us walk further away from these temptations. And I can help. Just ask, and we can have coffee at Tim Hortons or Sip Cafe, or we can meet in my office, and together you can walk stronger in the face of temptation. If it's a cat, call Pastor Aaron. If your temptation is to become the cat lady, call Pastor Aaron. He's wide open this week. I've checked his schedule. But folks, living in the freedom of the Spirit is not living without temptations. Living in the freedom of the Spirit is living a life that manages temptation well with the help of God's Holy Spirit. Because we will all face times where we are tempted in our weaknesses. But so when we pray, we can be honest about temptation, and we can ask God to help us escape the traps of the evil one. And you and I bearing one another's burdens together is one of the greatest ways that God has put together for us to escape the snare, the trap of the evil one. And so, folks, this morning, when you pray, you no longer have nothing to say. Because, and I stuck this in the bulletin for you, how do I pray? the Lord's Prayer. Just take that, stick it in your Bible, stick it on your fridge. These are broken down in five simple ways, five primers, if you will, to help you understand these are the ways that the Lord taught us to pray, and they can help provide some clarity on the things we pray about. Maybe we won't cover all five bases in one sitting of prayer, and that's okay. Maybe we'll come to the Lord because we really do have a need. There's a significant need that has just arisen, and we just need to come to the Lord with that need, and we focus on that need piece. But we need to not neglect the fact that it is entirely proper and necessary and called upon by God to come to the Lord asking for forgiveness for us and asking for the ability to forgive others. And coming to the Lord about the things that are going on and deep in the recesses of our hearts, the temptations that we walk through, that we experience, and bringing those to the Lord in our personal, private prayer times as well. This is the way the Lord has helped us pray. And so this morning, I want to challenge all of you to take this home with you, to do the homework, as it were. I guess I'm assigning some homework this week. But to take this and to use this, and whatever time you have carved out, whether it's simply a drive to work in the morning when you're alone, or whether it's, whether you have children around the house and the only alone time you can have is those 3 minutes in the bathroom with the door locked in the morning. I've done that before when the kids were much smaller. One day I took a box of crackers and locked myself in the bathroom. I was hungry and I was tired. I needed to be alone for a few moments. You can pray. You can pray. Find the moments when you have some time, and be creative about it, when you're alone, and then think, Lord, let me focus in on one of these categories: praise, purpose, need, forgiveness, or temptation. Lord, let me just talk with you about one of these areas together. And then just allow the Lord, as you pray, the Lord to speak to your heart, and allow that to be a way that you can start to develop into prayer in maybe deeper ways than you have before. But now we know how to pray and what to pray for, at least the beginnings of, as the Lord has taught us through the Lord's Prayer. Let's pray this morning before we leave. God, I thank you for this morning, and I thank you for your word. And I thank you, Lord, that there is a desire among some of us here this morning to pray and to commune with you in greater ways. I know that because we've asked for it. And so, Lord, I thank you that we have asked as a congregation. Many of us have asked, and others probably have on their hearts as well, how do I connect with the Lord in deeper ways? And so as we look into your word, into the way that you taught your disciples to pray, I just pray that this will be a way that we can use this week. Give us opportunities. Pick moments in our heart as we are driving, as we are walking, as we are just going about our weekly business, to say, hey, you could pray right now. And now you have some focus. Pick one and just reflect and pray to God on that. And Lord, I just pray that you will meet us there when we call out to you, and that we will continue to grow more deeply with you in prayer. In the name of Christ, we pray together. Amen.